It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Cheers, and welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few minutes to spend with us today. On the show today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Nina Graywall with me. Dr. Graywall combines her experience in general surgery and vascular surgery with the new field of interventional medicine and is here today to talk to us about varicose veins and other such subjects. Welcome, Dr. Graywall.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, let's jump right in and talk about everybody's favorite subject, varicose veins.
Yes.
Hey, they're not a medical emergency most of the time, but they're not pretty and they can be quite painful, right?
Yep. You know, venous disease is very much under-recognized by the general population, and what it causes can vary anywhere from just unsightly spider veins all the way up to chronic limb swelling, venous ulcerations, and it can be very debilitating. And, you know, it's important to recognize that you may have venous disease and then seek an evaluation either by your primary care physician or a specialist.
Let's bust one of those myths. They think that you have little spider veins in your face, that they're going to become worse and worse and then lead to something, you know, very serious. True or false?
It may be. Spider veins in and of themselves, very unlikely will they represent something that's more serious. Varicose veins, however, can be a sign of more serious venous disorder. Mm-hmm. The main reason people get varicose veins is because, and I'll just go a little bit into the venous anatomy so that people understand, you have deep veins and superficial veins within your legs, and the main function of those veins is to carry blood from the legs back towards the heart. And mm-hmm. as you can imagine, against gravity, that's difficult to do. So our veins have little one-way check valves that, as your muscles are contracting and pushing that blood up from your legs towards your heart, those one-way valves close behind the column of blood to keep the blood from pooling back down into your legs.
Okay.
And when those valves don't work normally, you kind of have a backup of the blood in those veins in your legs. And as you can imagine, when that blood backs up into the veins, they become engorged and bulge, and that's when you start seeing varicose veins.
I have to say that was the best description I've ever heard. Thank you so much. You made it very visual. I could absolutely see the problem as you were talking about it.
Yep. Yeah, so, and, you know, it's important if someone has varicose veins, and in addition, they also start having heaviness, burning, itching, swelling of their legs. That's usually worse at the end of the day, but pretty much non-existent when they first wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. that may be a sign that the valves within the veins in the legs are not working normally, and that needs to be evaluated and treatment options need to be discussed.
Okay. Now, who is most likely to contract varicose veins?
You know, there's a lot of risk factors or people that are predisposed. Women are mm-hmm. predisposed. There's a strong family history, and we don't know what the background of that family, like what the underlying cause is, but mm-hmm. usually if one or two people have it in the family, many people will have it. You know, people that stand for long periods of time and don't move, because
right.
movement will help stimulate those veins and those valves to work, but if you don't move a lot, then that can be another risk factor. So those are the big ones: women, family history, and standing.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So, you know, if you have a job where you have to stand in the same place, try at least to, on your break, take a little walk around and get off your feet. I mean, just vary the posture a little bit, right?
Exactly. And exercise really helps because your muscles are contracting. They're pushing the blood. The valves are working. And so exercise really can help. At least it can help help to keep the function from worsening. They usually
right.
don't, the anatomy, once it's abnormal, it usually doesn't return to normal. But there are things that you can do that can help keep it from getting worse.
Okay. Once you have a bad case of varicose veins, what are the first steps you should take?
If you have varicose veins, then you should, the first thing is I would start wearing a compression stocking, something that you can get over the counter that's a little bit more secure, a little bit more support than your normal trouser stocking. Mm-hmm. That will help, you know, if you're having swelling or discomfort in your legs, that will help the symptoms. And then I would go see your primary care physician and ask about a referral to a vascular surgeon who can get an ultrasound that mm-hmm. looks at the veins within your legs, and it can an ultrasound can tell us what the function of the valves is within the veins. And an ultrasound is non-invasive. It's just a little ultrasound jelly on your leg, and mm-hmm. it's a very good test to help us tell, you know, if these varicose veins are caused by abnormal valves within your legs.
Okay. So let's keep going. I want to get to the point where we actually do something surgically.
Okay. Well, so if, you know, say someone has varicose veins, they've gone and they've been evaluated, the ultrasound shows that there are abnormal valves within the superficial veins of your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Those superficial veins are treatable, in that we have now catheter-based procedures that are a lot of times is done in the office, where we basically start an IV in the superficial vein that runs on the inner aspect of your thigh and calf.
Mm-hmm.
Start an IV into it, and under ultrasound guidance, we put a catheter into that vein, and we use radio frequency or laser energy to basically shut down that vein and put it out of circulation. And what happens is then the blood that would have normally gone through that superficial vein will be rerouted into other veins that are functioning normally. And so you eliminate the abnormally functioning vein, but it's a vein that you don't need anyway.
It's kind of amazing. It's sort of like the appendix that we have these
exactly.
so many veins that we can,
yeah.
That's wonderful. It's not like
yep.
putting all the traffic on a four-lane highway into a, you know, a dirt road, but these other veins have the capacity to handle this extra blood, correct?
Exactly, exactly.
Isn't that a miracle?
And it's the same vein that, you know, people harvest for open heart surgery, for bypasses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a vein that, when it functions normally, it can be useful. It's
mm-hmm.
useful in circulating blood from the legs back to the heart, and it's useful as a conduit for bypasses on your arteries in your heart. But when it doesn't function normally, it can't be used for those things, and therefore it's actually better treated and eliminated from the circulation.
And, you know, I'm thinking now, just as a layperson, when you shut a vein down, it doesn't become, what are the chances of infection?
Infection is very small because we're all of our work is done through catheters. So
mm-hmm.
it's basically like just a catheter insertion site. So the typical incision is just like two millimeters. It's
okay.
where the sheath goes in. So
the
risks for infection are very small. The main risks for catheter-based procedures are deep venous thrombosis, which can happen if the catheter gets too close to the deep veins, because up by the groin, the deep and the superficial veins actually connect.
Okay.
And so we use ultrasound guidance to make sure our catheter is well away from the deep veins. But there's a less than 1% chance that someone may develop a deep venous thrombosis.
Good to know. Good to know. Because people are always so afraid of infection. I'm glad you answered that.
Exactly. And
now, please finish.
Oh, if it does happen, which again is less than 1% chance, it can be easily treated with blood thinners for a short period of time, usually about a month.
Thank you so much for easing everybody's mind worried about that. You never actually go in. A lot of people think you have these veins removed. That really isn't the case, is it?
No, not with these catheter-based procedures. These catheter-based procedures are akin to what people used to have done about 20 years ago, such as vein stripping, ligation
mm-hmm.
and stripping, where surgically a surgeon would go in and tie off that superficial vein and then remove it from the leg. And those procedures, I've never done one because we don't do those anymore. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was several days in the hospital, debility. It was
right.
not a fun thing to go through. So these catheter-based procedures are the same, function as the same thing, in that they're removing that vein from the circulation, but they don't actually remove it from the body. It just, we use that energy to scar down that vein and take it out of the circulation.
See there, a lot of people are still of the school where they think that they have to go through what you just previously described,
exactly.
And it's not the case anymore. We're in a whole brand new world here, thanks to medical progress.
Exactly, and these catheter-based procedures, like I said, a lot of them are done in the office. It takes about a half an hour. You go home about an hour after your procedure and are walking around. There's, you know, some people have it done on a Friday and are back to work on a Monday. It's just amazing.
Thank you so much for all your optimism, for all your good work, and for being a part of that medical progress, making people so much happier in their daily lives. We're talking today with Dr. Nina Graywall, a general and vascular surgeon, an expert in thrombosis and interventional medicine, who's been so gracious with her time. Thanks so much for being on the show.